You are listening to Audex Audio. We are located in Boulder, Colorado, but we are virtually everywhere. I'm going to go to the next one.
Humiliation and pleasure danced, entangled at twilight, calling out to the moon, the moon,
the moon, as it began to beat out the rhythm of their infinite courtship ritual. The ritual was never ending, because out of the whirling between them, the ambiguous night grew and grew. Each time the daylight came to sweep the lovers away into the illusion of happily ever after, the night clenched down
again and again, twisting them, whirling them in an unrecoverable cycle of indecision. Shame, shame, shame. That is what they had between them. A film begins with the title No Lies, followed with a close-up shot of the mirror reflection of an attractive young Caucasian woman putting on makeup. Soon enough, we see a man behind a camera in a mirror, and he asks the woman to talk about herself in the intimate act of primping. Although embarrassed, she allows him to film her, telling him tidbits about her life. She tells him that she has to go into her bedroom to change and get ready to go out to a movie. Maybe you could turn that thing off. He ignores her and follows her into the room. She moves to a dressing table, again in front of a mirror. He continues to probe her about her life. Tell me about your boyfriend. She confesses.
I was raped yesterday. The tone of the film quickly changes.
She recalls the incident in extreme shock. I never imagined that could happen to me, she continues. When she went to the police after the assault, they asked her how she had dressed. She is pissed at the cop who took her into a room, pressed her for details of the stranger's violations,
only to reveal information about his wife and their sex life. She mentions how another woman walked past her on a New York City street
while the rapist was on top of her. The filmmaker listens in disbelief,
but still interrogates.
He asks her why she did not call the woman for help.
I had a knife in my throat. She gets irritable, stands up from her bedroom mirror, and moves toward the living room. The film has now traversed the entirety of the tiny New York apartment. In the living room, the filmmaker accuses her of not defending herself against the rape. She responds by asking him, "What can I do? It's over."
He goads her.
"Oh, you're too complicit." He insists she was unaffected. If this really happened, she wouldn't be so cool. She breaks down, cries, tells him there's
nothing can do about it. She implies never stand.
"Leave me alone." He sees how
he intrudes. "I'm sorry. He wants to show sympathy,
but he's not sure he means it. His camera is running. He is a filmmaker.
He would never waste his expensive roll of color film."
She tells him she has to meet a friend at a movie house,
and she asks him to come along.
He hesitates, following her to the front door. "Come on, turn that thing off."
He follows her into the hallway as she heads for the front door. She opens the door,
asking him to turn off the camera and to walk her to the movie theater. She hides behind the door.
"Turn that thing off. Just let me use this roll of film." They play a game of hide and seek behind the door until she finally pleads to him, "I've got to go. Please, walk me to the movie." He concedes, apologizing.
The film cuts to credits announcing
the catch played by...
as it lists the actors.
Is it live or is it Memorex?
Before I bombard you with, "Well, what do you think of this film by Mitchell Bloch? You know, ethics, the camera, women, cinematic form, money. Let me tell you, in my own knowing tale, a brief history of the cinema. Late 19th century France. Etienne Jules Marais invented chronophotography to analyze bodily movement. A socially inept scientist, Marais dedicated his invention to the measurement of human physiology. To score the rhythm of life and the tempo of breathing. His were the earliest filmic images seen in public. At the turn of that century, Edward Muybridge also pioneered a photographic process to look at human bodies. Alas, his experimentation secreted slightly naughty and erotic examples of motion. A dance. Many dances. In his animal locomotion series, naked women preoccupy him most. A naked mother spanking her naked baby. Homoerotic tendencies in women pouring a bucket of water over another woman. Their ambition to produce celluloid movement had nothing to do with replicating the outside world. No. Marais and Muybridge wanted to explore the as-yet-undocumented tableau of body fluid motion. Fluid body motion, body motion fluid.
A few years later, the luminous Lumiere brothers patented Marais' Nido cinematograph.
Marais was a scientist working deep into esoterica, but these entrepreneurs could take his inventions and make cinema an industry like never before. Chrono photography could be standardized and mass-produced. The Lumières made deals. As in Lumière, so in Hollywood.
But for what, if not for money?
Evidence
or fantasy?
Humiliation and pleasure danced, entangled in twilight.
Calling out to the moon, the moon, the moon, as it began to beat out the rhythm of their infinite courtship ritual.
The ritual was never-ending, because out of the whirling between them,
the ambiguous night grew and grew.
Each time the daylight came to sweep the lovers away into the illusion of happily ever after, the night clenched down again
and again,
twisting them,
whirling them
in an uncomfortable cycle of indecision. Shame, shame, shame.
That is what they had between them.
You are listening to Alex Audio. We are located in Boulder, Colorado, but we are virtually everywhere. You are listening to Audex Audio. We are located in Boulder, Colorado, but we are virtually everywhere.